Hello, Glide family. Welcome to Glide Memorial Church's Tiny Celebrations, the mini podcast highlighting the inspirational words and music from our Sunday celebration. We're extending the life of Sunday celebration for your Monday through Saturday enjoyment and upliftment. We hope these tiny celebrations will lift your spirit and your voice. Enjoy.
Sing it now, yeah.
Love you, OG Jack Santa Claus. Happy, happy birthday. And thank you so much for celebrating your birthday amongst us. You know, when I was thinking about what to share with you today, I remembered a sermon that I would love to repurpose for Jack's birthday today. Because it's a sermon about abolition and Jack being one of the finest abolitionists in the world. I want to share with you in honor of Jack today. You know, I remember when I was invited to a screening to see Van Jones's CNN program. It was called The Redemption Project, and in it, he brought the viewers into the room as offenders, those who perpetrated crimes, came face to face with those who were impacted by the violent crimes as a part of a restorative justice process. I remember I left that viewing feeling shaken when it brought together the black man who shot to kill the white officer who survived the shooting. Now, I have men in my family who are or who have been incarcerated. I always have. If I had accepted the offer to join the family business when I was 21, my story might be radically different today. But I'm a preacher now. I'm a minister now. I got by the skin of my teeth. And I want to use this being a preacher and being a minister so I can be in place. So when they go and tell the recently freed people, go by Glide and start there, I want to be here for them when they get here. I want you to be here for them when they get here. It is our job to create the most compelling case that we are, by our silence or by our action, a part of the prison reform and restorative justice movement. And we are all here. All of us are here waiting for the free to get here. Churches are built on stories of prison reform, abolishing prisons, breaking chains, and restoring justice. We don't need an invitation to have these conversations and act on them because my Christian witness tells us that we must act. All I want, Christian or not, is to lead one another to an answer. The Bible is made up of stories of imprisoned people getting out of prisons, people coming out of bondage, and the enslaved getting free. But as many people who got out of prison, bondage, and slavery, there were countless more people who are still, in that very same Bible, imprisoned, in bondage, and enslaved. Until all of us are free, none of us are free. We got to go back into the Bible, and we have to free our people even before we free people in the world. I believe that I know a way that the church can enter into the Bible and free the marginalized and the criminalized who are still caught up in that system. It's through a hermeneutics of incarceration. And hermeneutics just means the branch of knowledge that deals with interpretation. So a hermeneutics of incarceration means an interpretation of the Bible by the ways that systems of incarceration and liberation are at work. We read the Bible through a hermeneutics of incarceration. And through a hermeneutic of incarceration, we can exhume and unearth more bodies and more accounts of people who were not set free by Jesus, not set free by God, or not set free by Christianity. A hermeneutic of suspicion reminds us that Jesus was under surveillance by empire, and that empire and state has always used surveillance as a tool of fear and control. A hermeneutics of incarceration allows you to see the Bible through the lens of the incarcerated and the formerly incarcerated. The stories of the incarcerated and formerly incarcerated offers us leads and that can point us towards the places in the Bible where we find those still awaiting trial, those who have been convicted. We can find the sentenced through this hermeneutic, and we can find the trafficked, and we can find the enslaved. A hermeneutic of incarceration talks about the carceral body, the body that is on lock as a site of potential holiness. The carceral body is a site of potential holiness. While empire and the state convinces us, even the well-meaning of us, that the imprisoned folks are incorporeal, that means that they have no material existence or meaning, they say that there is nothing to see there when you talk about those who are incarcerated. But at the same time, they are extracting free labor from those who are in prison. We know that through a hermeneutic of incarceration, the hiding and disappearing is not a one way in, it is a way out. Now, do you remember the story of the Apostle Paul and Silas? They were in Macedonia, where they were staying at the invitation of this rich woman named Lydia, who is converting herself and her house to Christianity. Well, while they were there at the farmer's market, they met a slave girl who was possessed, and her enslavers were getting rich off of her possession because she was a fortune teller. So she would get possessed and she would become a fortune teller. The slave girl follows them around for days, yelling about the Apostle Paul and Silas, that they are servants of God who could point onlookers to salvation. Now, okay, so Paul and Silas is walking around and somebody is following behind them, yelling at them. And one day of that is fine. But on day five of a slave girl that is possessed, yelling at you, blowing up your spot, putting your stuff on blast, well, that's a lot. So Paul calls the demon out of the woman, and the woman is healed. A healed woman is of no use to a slave owner. So the owners of the girl get Paul and Silas locked up for stopping them from being able to continue to use this slave girl's body into perpetuity to keep getting rich off of her. The bodies of the oppressed are a get-rich-quick scheme. Paul and Silas are exonerated when God causes an earthquake to open up every jail cell. But rather than leave, Paul and Silas demanded an apology from the magistrates, and guess what? They got it. The hermeneutic of incarceration says, we can speak truth to power. We're gonna get free, it says. And the church needs to be prepared to receive the freed, the recovered, the exonerated, the formerly incarcerated, and the recently released. I keep saying this, we don't want to miss free people. We want to be a beacon for them to find Glide Memorial Church. Because do we really believe at our core, at our deepest of our belief, that we all gonna get free one day? And what does that look like for you? I'll say it again. The carceral body is a site of holiness. Imprisonment often means that you get to connect to your own divinity. It reminds us that saints and prophets and saviors all get locked up at some point. It reminds us that the Christ is formally incarcerated. It reminds us that the Christ chose to run the streets rather than live off of his Father's inheritance. It reminds us that the time spent in jail condenses the imprisoned person. So we mustn't deny that men and women often emerge from jail as holy. It reminds us to ask how Adam and Eve learned to love themselves again after being charged as accessories and accomplices to the first two crimes of the Bible, and how a hermeneutic of incarceration makes us go back to Adam and Eve and tell them that death is not jail. You were entrapped. You were not read your Miranda rights. God had no one to lead God through a restorative justice project. Churches are still getting rich off of this Eden to prison pipeline. We must break it. People are getting out of jail, and we must and we have to believe that. Or what are we really doing here at church? People are getting free. People are breaking free. And how are we preparing to receive them? Because aren't we for such a time as this church? We pray against hate. We sit sangha. We take up offerings. And when there are very real campaigns of erasure, we begin to be a real sanctuary and invite people to come in and tell their stories. If we are for such a time as this people, what we gonna do? We need to activate and amplify all of our gifts. If we are not activating our gifts, then the system is gonna get rich off of us, which means to me that communities of faith have to be innately organized. We have to be an organized body. We know it, but it bears repeating today that we aren't the opiate, even despite what people say about the church. We are not the opposite of logic or reason or strategy. We are not the woo. Our prayers, our meditations, our incantations, which proceed to the making, the materializing, the poem, the essay, the performance, the meal, the action, or the sermon, are a part of an intentional ordering and organizing of all of our tools, our memories, our impulses, our spirit, our datum, our content, our noise, and our faith. We cannot become algorithmic. We must know that sometimes our work is not even miraculous. It is not magic. It is not accidental. It is real hard work, this liberation thing. It is proof that the compositional body of preachers and prophets and you believers are real. Healing is not magic. It is strategic. Liberation is not magic, it is strategic. We must release from our bodies, if we hold it in there, if we hold it in our souls and in our minds, any negative messages that we received about our prophetic ways and our prophetic choices and the prophetic tools that we use to bring about change in the world. Those are real tools we have here. We have never been without principle, never been without direction. Never lacked drive. We have never been lazy. We are not the coffee. We are the percolate. We are the dreamers. We are the thinkers. We are the doers. And we are whole. And those tools are necessary. And they are healthy for such a moment as this. And we are, for such a time as this, ready. We are so ready. In this community of faith, there is today, despite the reports to the contrary, a rebuttal to the jails that are advertising all around us. We are expecting you. Our mandate is to show up to the world that is crying for us to prove Our mandate is to know that when we are called by the forces of domination, when they call us powerless, we are actually very close to power. We have to show our scars and our healing. We must be in the story and about the story. We must be character and we must be author. We must align ourselves with the misdemeanor and the lifer. We must remember the place we come from and return to is never jail. Being human on earth should not be a jail sentence, and death is not a jail sentence. And we must bring our timeless faith into this time now, because real time is prophetic time. And the fact is that we are already doing the work of liberation and have always been doing the work of liberation and have continued in this pandemic of doing the work of liberation. And the shift is infinitesimal. It only requires us to move from an eschatological people over-concerned with the end times and what happens at death We don't need to think that far in advance. We need to become an artological people, which means that we are a now people. We are a this instant people. We are a here and right now and exactly now people. We are here in this immediate moment, and we are a present people being alive unto God people. We are not as they have told us and sold us on the outside of this system. We are no longer colored in white clothes. There's no separation between us. We are the nucleus. We are the nucleus in this here cell. And we push out from the inside. And there is no wall, no prison, or border that we can't bring down. Now, the state, they are the rogue mutation. They are the cancer. They are on the outside, and they are trying to attach themselves to our imagination and threaten us with a slow and quick death if we start using our tools. And that is making us sick, and they are prescribing us the medicine, and they are not interested in our wellness, but in managing our mental health care. It is not an interest of theirs in our freedom, but in selling us just something that looks like freedom, an all-inclusive freedom experience. Imagine if all of us, at the same agreed upon time, maybe when the ancestors whispered mitosis or meiosis, we all split and we all divide and we all grow and begin to reproduce and give life and birth to something that pushes outside of the medicine machine and outside of the war machine and outside of the higher education machine and outside of the vote counting machine and outside of the checked gender box machine and outside of the parade permit machine and outside of the prison industrial complex machine. Imagine all of us letting more people know that which they do not want them to know, that it is in our embodying and belonging. That's the tool that they don't want us to have, because they know that we know that we hold all the keys to the prisons. And they know that hate imprisons people, not forgiving imprisons people. So don't be a jailer, y'all, if you say that you are a liberator. Our collective prayer and our shared narrative and our intra and interdenominational, our non-denominational and our collect, our strategic narrative is a tool, the only effective tool. It is the antibody against our erasure and incarceration. The scripture says, and I believe it as much as I believe in you, and I believe in your possibilities. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God while they were in prison. And the other prisoners, through their cells, were listening to them. And then suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you for letting us throw you this tiny celebration. If you want to hear more tiny celebrations or hear our full Sunday celebrations, follow us on Podomatic at glidesf@podomatic.com or wherever you listen to your podcast. My name is Marvin K. White, and I'm your minister of celebration.